Well, a Southern girl absolutely needs two names. Jackie Sue.
That's exactly right.
Jackie Sue Gingrich Cushman. That's quite a name.
It's a lot of names, isn't it?
Four names. But you were just talking about your dad and everything, and one of the things that I wanted to know, and I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about, is you were there when your mom and dad broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Breaking up is horrible. Breaking up is horrible. Was it the way it's been described in the media?
I think the best example is this past winter when I was in Alaska and someone thought my mother had died, because that's what she had read about on the internet. My mother is alive and well. And when you were saying that, I was almost thinking of the song "Breaking Up Is Hard to Do."
Right?
I mean,
exactly.
You remember that song?
Yeah, exactly.
That song was playing in my head, and it is hard.
It's hard on the family.
It's always hard.
Yes.
It's always hard. It's never easy. But what I'd like people to remember, and I wrote about the process and what happened this past spring, and you can find it on newt.org or on my site, jackiecushman.com. It's called "Setting the Record Straight." And I wrote that because I wanted people to understand what really happened. And we never really addressed it before because my mother's a very private person. She's 75. She's a grandmother. She's a retired school teacher. She's never wanted to talk to the press or be involved in any way. But I did feel a little compelled to tell people that she was alive and well and babysitting my children, right? All the good things grandmothers do.
That was particularly good because if she was dead, this would be hard to have this conversation.
Absolutely. But she's an incredible grandmother. She still helps the children with math, of course, because she was a math teacher. But I really want people to understand that the incident that was talked about in the press for years was absolutely held no meaning for our family, because it didn't mean anything. It just, one of a million different instances.
Sure.
And our lives went on. And I think I'm very lucky because I'm close to both my parents. As is my sister, and we're a very close family, and that's what I would want people to take away, is that, have two parents that love me and love my sister and love the grandchildren, and like many families, we've gone through hard times, but we've moved on and gone past it.
Do they still talk?
Yeah, they still talk.
Mm-hmm. No, they do. No, they do, yeah. I mean, and is she supportive of the fact of what he's doing?
She's been so great. She just the other day, she said, you and your sister, I know you're out there working hard, and I'll do whatever I can. I'll stay here with the children. I'll help around the house. Again, she's, doesn't want to do anything. She's a private citizen. But she's thrilled to help us out. She's an incredible woman.
Now, when you talk about your dad and everything, I think about my parents were married, divorced. They went through it. They weren't quite sure about what they did.
How about that?
How about that? So I can relate.
You have an interesting background,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. But was this a long process when they were breaking up, or did it?
No, again, it's happened a long time ago.
Right,
we don't dwell on that. So
but it wasn't something that.
We all moved on, and we've always been close. Even when we moved back to Carrollton, it was still in his district. We saw him a lot. We spent Christmases with him. I mean, life continues.
It does. Exactly.
It does.
But sometimes that seems to be a big strike against him in the media. That's what they keep bringing up. The other thing they bring up, though, is his temper. He has a tendency to, flip off on things sometimes. Has he really changed?
Absolutely. Have you watched the debates?
Yes, but
so
is
what
he
you,
under
what you,
well?
So what
I
do
think,
you see?
Is
what
he
you,
under control? Is he on a short leash here? Is
no,
somebody pulling him back there?
there's no strings attached. I mean, he's out on a national stage.
Yes.
With national level candidates.
Yes.
And what have you seen on stage? I mean, what kind of man have you seen on stage when he's during the debates?
I've seen a very controlled person. Yes. But my question is,
behind
those closed doors, is that such a controlled person?
He's the same person. The one thing my father is he is the same person in front of a national audience that he is behind closed doors. That's the same man. Because you probably notice he doesn't have, and I'll tell you the story, you've probably already heard it, but it's a cute story. When he walks out to the podium, they always have a little stand there, and they have a piece of paper. And I guess it would be like taking a test. You could probably jot down notes if you wanted to about, the answers you had. Well, he doesn't have phrases he memorizes like other candidates. He doesn't have certain lines for TV that he's memorized or points.
Mm-hmm.
He has it all in his head, and he just is out there.
When he doesn't use that phrase, he's going to be, that Obama's going to be a one-term president.
He doesn't use any special phrases. He doesn't try to go out there with a phrase in his mind. What he does is he does two things. He draws a smiley face and puts Maggie, because that's my little girl's name, because she's tried to remind him to smile a lot.
Okay.
And then he writes Robert short, clear, because Robert has tried to explain to him that he needs to be shorter and clearer, which he does.
How old are your kids?
They are 12 and 10. So my point is that that's the way he is. He doesn't have finished notes. He doesn't have anything else. He's the exact same person that you see on stage in front of a national audience as I would see in my living room. Same person.
You talk about, we talked a little bit about his religion, and you definitely threw it back to the fact that that was his choice. Were you surprised when he converted to Catholicism?
Catholicism. No, I wasn't surprised. He'd been going for quite a while with Calista, and we had a conversation about it. He obviously feels very comfortable in the Catholic Church, very much at home there. And one of the things you asked earlier if he changed, one of the things that I have seen him change on, it's not just the conversion process itself, but he has a much closer personal relationship with God now than he did 20 years ago. And I can see that in the way he talks about it. Mm-hmm. I can see that in the way the conversations I have with him about it. I can also see that in the way he exhibits himself. He has to be changed. He's much more patient now than he was 20 years ago. He's a much better listener than he was 20 years ago. And I'm sure that with everything in life, it's probably four or five different things that have happened. It's his religious experience. It's becoming a grandfather, which always has an impact. It's having had to run a small business and figure out how to make it successful, which is always a challenge and leads to new learning opportunities. I think it's being able to step out of the public eye as speaker and to have time to kind of reevaluate and to rethink about that process and how that was handled and that's changed him. So I think it's a combination of all that that has produced the person he is today. But I mean, we all change. I'm a different person than I was 15 years ago. I don't know if you are.
I'm exactly the same.
You're exactly the same. I'm different because I didn't have to have two children you know, 15 years ago, nor was I married to my husband. So 15 years has produced a lot of change for me.
Sure, exactly.
And I think you see that, and hopefully as you continue to grow and change as well.
Absolutely. No, I wasn't in broadcasting till 4 years ago, so I have changed a lot, yes. But what do you think? Do you have any reservations about your dad being president?
No.
You think he's up for it?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because he's the only candidate we've had that has, on a national level, balanced the budget, cut spending, cut taxes, and reformed welfare. There's no one else, including President Obama, that's done those things at a national level. He served as 4 years as speaker, so he understands the level of national scrutiny that he's under. And I think it's very good that he's not only a history professor, but it's the longest-serving teacher at the War College, because he has a great understanding of world history. And I think especially today, for national security, the president needs that type of understanding. They need to understand what has happened before and how things have evolved over time.
What about the comparisons between Mitt Romney and your dad? Mitt Romney has been in business, big business, long-time business. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think Mitt Romney's a very capable guy. I think he's clearly been successful in business. I mean, I think everyone would say that. I think it depends on what type of president the people think we need at this time. And I think that changes depending on where the country is at a certain time. I think if you think about if we need someone who can manage the current system really well, I would say that Mitt Romney is probably the person that could manage something very well. He's a very good manager. He's very smart and very capable. I think if you say who is the person that can bring the level of change that we need in Washington based on where we are as a country, and if you thought we needed great change in the country, and if you thought it was going to take a lot of work, I think that Newt Gingrich, I think my dad's the one for you. You know, he created the contract with America. He brought the Republicans into power into 94. Many people didn't think he would. He thought he would, but many people didn't think he would, including many of the people that signed the contract. He then actually said, we're going to actually adhere to the contract and do what we said we would do, and we're going to vote on everything in 100 days. And that created a lot of work and a lot of change in a very short amount of time. All of that work and change led to 4 years of a balanced budget. And the process.
What happened then, Jackie?
I know. It's don't we wish we were back there with the balanced budget?
Sure.
But in that process, the balanced budget, he and Clinton actually argued about it, and the government shut down. I'm sure,
right.
You remember that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't easy. I mean, that is not easy to do. And I can remember being in Washington during that time, and I can remember the protesters, you know, on the side of the car protesting that the government was being shut down. But in the end, he knew that if he didn't do that, that President Clinton wouldn't take him seriously, that he wouldn't think he could actually, right, have to do it.
Sure.
So I think if you're looking for someone who has gone through big scale change, who is not afraid of being vilified because, you know, he has been, who is not afraid of making hard choices, that he's the man. And I think that's up for them. That's part of the process. The American people have to decide what type of president do we need as a nation right now.
Do you think that this is a grueling process?
Mm-hmm.
Can he keep it up?
Absolutely.
Does he work out?
He walks. He's a big walker. He's been that way since I was little. We used to go to church and walk home a couple miles. We'd go out for 10-mile hikes as a family. And I was so young that when I got tired, he'd put me on his shoulder. Thankfully, I'm the youngest child. My sister had to walk. but absolutely, he's of all things. And maybe it's being the son of a infantry officer. His father served for 27 years in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
But he really feels like this is, you know, this is his duty. And he knows it's grueling. And he just gets up every day and he trudges out and marches onward. And he's, I mean, he really is the happy warrior. He's having a good time out there.
He appears to be having a good time out there.
He is having fun. I think he's excited about where he is from a campaign perspective. He really likes the American people and how they respond to him. And I was laughing because a couple months ago people were talking about, oh, he's not going to retail campaign. He loves to retail. I mean, I grew up doing retail campaigning. That's what we did. I mean, we were in rural Georgia. There was no media market that we could afford to buy into.
Sure.
I mean, there wasn't. So we stopped at every little, there was a crossroads with a store and one person. We were stopping, and we were shaking hands, and we were talking and having discussions. I mean, he spent a long time doing retail politics. He's very good at it. He loves talking to people. In fact, you'll love this. When my friends would meet him, I'd warn them, you're going to meet my dad. He's a really nice guy. But he's going to ask you 1,000 questions. And it's not because he's interrogating you. He loves to learn. And how he learns is to ask questions. So just be prepared. He's going to ask you lots of questions.
Did you ever cringe when you were bringing home a boyfriend?
No, because I would warn him. I would warn him. You know, you're going to get lost. And it would do it to boyfriends, friends, any people he meets, retail, I mean, anybody. He will ask anybody tons of questions because he loves to learn. And then he can put all those different pieces together in a different way, and I'm like, how about that? Yeah, that's really interesting. I've never thought about that before.
What's your favorite memory of your dad?
My favorite memory, it's probably in the Okefenokee Swamp. He taught environmental studies,
okay,
and we would have field trips down there. He'd take the family, and we owned a canoe that would be on top of the car when we drove down. And I loved being in the Okefenokee Swamp, and they had those, remember those islands that are floating islands of vegetation?
Sure. Right.
And the alligators would swim by and snakes overhead. But we spent a lot of time camping and hiking and did a lot of things in the outdoors. And those are my favorite memories.
Probably your dad's, because now there's alligators and snakes and everything out there.
I never thought about that. You're right. Maybe that was good training.
Maybe so.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't know if back then there was an alligator, and I can't remember his name. I've got to ask Dad. But where we had put in for the boat at Okefenokee Swamp was this somewhat tame alligator. Not really.
A somewhat tame alligator.
Exactly.
I like that, yes.
With a red dot in his head. And he would kind of hang out there. And I've got a picture of Dad when he was young with black hair, right, next to the alligator. So maybe that was good training for him.
Absolutely.
To get right next to him and not get eaten up.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you're definitely dealing with that on a campaign
exactly
trail.
Exactly right.
So how is it to be back here in Greenwood? Do you come back very often? Or
I mean, I love South Carolina. I've mm-hmm. always loved South Carolina. It's a beautiful state between the mountains and on the west
sure.
side and then off the coast. I mean, the coast is absolutely gorgeous. It's a really pretty state. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm thrilled to be back here. I loved going to PC. I went to Presbyterian College today
sure.
and saw the campus, and it's still really pretty. Big trees, lots of green, brick buildings. You know,
did you see the big Buddha?
No, I didn't.
There is the largest Buddha in the United States is on Presbyterian, is in Well, it's in Clinton, so that's I'm part of Presbyterian.
Where is it?
I don't know, but we had Griffin, the Presbyterian chairman, on the show, and he was talking about that. They're big into doing studies between China and
that's
the U.S.
Funny. Yeah, I'll have to go back.
Yeah, I'll have to go back. Yeah, and see the largest Buddha in the United States.
A little bit of trivia right there. Exactly. That's awesome.
It is awesome. Well, listen, Jackie, do you think that how do you think that Iowa's going to turn out? Prediction.
Oh, I don't make predictions in politics.
No?
I've been in it too long.
No.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Never. And I think you don't know. I was in Iowa and New Hampshire. I've been to both states in the last week. And in both states, a lot of the voters won't decide probably until the last two or three days. You know, in Iowa, it's even more depends on who turns out that night, because it's a caucus and you literally go into a home or a place. They literally stand in the different parts of the room and argue different points of view.
Are you organized up there to be able to have enough people to cover that? That was one of my questions.
Yes, we are rapidly organizing in Iowa. We have a lot of people now working for us. We actually have people from Georgia. And if you want to go, you can too. It's not just Georgia. South Carolina people can go too. But we actually people that are going up, you know, and helping out, in Iowa. We'll be going up right after Christmas and staying for the duration. We'll be on a bus tour. We'll be in lots of different places. And the reality is, you don't know until it's over. You never know until it's over.
Sure.
Which I guess is what makes politics so incredibly exciting, because if you knew, everyone would quit worrying about it and talking about it.
Sure.
But you don't know. But we're in a good position. We're going to work very hard. And I think a lot of it will depend on the people. Do people get out that night? Mm-hmm. Do they get engaged? Do they talk to their family and friends? And again, you don't know that until you go through the process.
You're absolutely right. Well, I just have enjoyed this thoroughly. It has been excellent to talk to you here today, and I certainly hope you'll come back up here to Greenwood again, and I'd love to talk to your dad.
Well, thank you. No, I appreciate the time to talk to you, and I love being here.
Well, thank you very much. All right. Thank you.